بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد جزا الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم ربي زدني علما. We were discussing Banu al-Mustaliq, the incident of this battle of Banu al-Mustaliq, what also transpired in this expedition of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that was known as Ghazwatu Bani al-Mustaliq or Dhatul Muraysi', was the incident of Ifk, the slander against Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. On the return trip, we already know that the environment was hostile. There were rumors. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was traveling faster than usual to quell the situation and to avoid Sahaba radiallahu anhum getting involved in any chit-chat or anything that is beyond the objective for which we had embarked on this mission and journey. So on the return trip already, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was trying to travel fast. And close to Medina Tayyiba, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had set up camp one of the nights. And suddenly Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wakes up. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announces to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that prepare yourselves, we have to return. We're going to be leaving soon. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum had some time to prepare and to make the necessary arrangements for this travel on the return to Medina Tayyibah. And what had transpired was the ifk, the slander against Aisha radiallahu anha. Hadith appears in Sahih al-Bukhari. It's a very lengthy hadith, one of the most longest of ahadith that appear in Sahih al-Bukhari. And we will just discuss snippets from the incident that are of relevance and applicable to our daily lives. So Aisha radiallahu anha says that on this journey of Banu al-Mustaliq, in this incident, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on journey, he drew lot. When he drew lots, it means that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as long as he was in Medina Tayyibah, then he would be very equal with the sharing of the nights with the Azwaj Mutahharat. Although not an obligation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he would do it to avoid any accusation or any bad mouthing of his high personality and character. So Rasulullah sallam on journey, there is no obligation to take any of the wives. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the choice of taking any wife. But again, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would put everyone's name and he would take out a name, and whoever's name came out, that from the Azwaj Mutahharat would travel with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Aisha radiallahu anha says that my name came out. So فَخَرَجْتُ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. I was traveling with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My name came out for this expedition of Banu al-Mustaliq. The function of the woman, if they participated in any of the expeditions, was not combat. It was not physical fighting. Rather, the function of any of the women, if we find in the narration that they also left, now this doesn't give room for women to start their physical classes and say that the woman also went out and they were fighting. They didn't fight. You would find a very rare occasion. Example we discussed in Khandaq, where Safiya radiallahu anha went and attacked. But that's few and very far apart, out of necessity. So Aisha radiallahu anha, the Azwaj Mutahharat, if they accompanied Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was it was to collect water, and that used to be poured into the water bags of the Mujahidun when they would go out. The arrows, the picking up of the arrows, if anyone was severely injured, to tend and to nurse to the injured. And this was the function rather than physical combat. So Aisha radiallahu anha says, on this journey, فَأَنَا أُحْمَلُ فِي هَوْدَجِ. There was a special carriage. I used to be carried in this carriage. So this was, as she says, بَعْدَمَا نَزَّلَ الْهِجَابِ. Remember, this incident of Mustaliq took place in the fifth year of Hijri. And hijab only became obligatory the third or the fourth year of Hijri. Which means prior to that, there was no hijab. So Aisha radiallahu anha says, fifth year Hijri, now there is hijab. So therefore I'm in this carriage. I'm going to be carried in this. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the announcement that we make the necessary preparations, so I went to relieve myself away from the army. I went to a distance. As I'm coming back, I realized, فَإِذَا إِقْدٌ لِي, a necklace that I was wearing, which belonged to my sister Asma, that had fallen. Now I'm not too sure where it was in the darkness of night. So I went back to the spot, looking for my necklace. By the time I located and tried to look for the necklace and come back, the army had already left that spot where they had pitched up tent. So the army is gone, I come, but the intelligence of Aisha radiallahu anha, she doesn't run in any direction. She doesn't know which direction it is. She stays at that spot, understanding that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would realize I am missing, and he would come to the place last that we pitched up tent. That's where we were together. So that's one important point. Remember, Aisha radiallahu anha was only 15 years old. She's 15 years old. But our children, you go for Umrah, wherever it is, then it's simple, basic things that we have to teach them of safety. That you don't start running anywhere. If you're lost, wherever it is you wait, I will come and fetch you. I will know how to scan the area. So anyway, the question is, how is it that they carried this carriage, placed it onto the camel, not realizing that Aisha radiallahu anha is not there? So she says that what actually happened was, I was khafiful lahm, I was very light, I was thin. It's because the ladies of those days, ya'kulna al-ulqata, they would eat very little. I was young, I was small in size, we used to eat very little, food wasn't freely available for us, but generally our habit was to eat little. Now remember, if they gonna carry that carriage to place it, I was so light, there was no difference if I was in or not. Because you got 3-4 men carrying it. So they didn't realize, unnoticing that she is not in the carriage, they placed this carriage on top of the camel and they were leaving. So they continued on the journey. There was a sahabi that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed, Safwan ibn Mu'attal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed him, you're traveling with the army of 1,000. There would be a possibility of any person leaving something behind by mistake, or didn't realize what when packing up something was left behind. So there are chances. Again, etiquette, that when we travel as a group, even as a family, once everyone has checked out, out of the room, out of wherever it may be, then there is one person to scan the entire thing. Even if it means looking under the bed, there would be possibly something that have been left behind. Safwan ibn Mu'attal, he comes. When he comes, he's right at the end, looking around the area when Sahaba had already left. And he sees Sawada Rajulin. He sees that there is a figure in the distance, not knowing who is this. So he comes close and he realizes it was me. Now what happened was, I sat in that spot. I was also tired. غَلَبَتْنِي عَيْنَايَ, my eyes took the better of me and I slept away. Aisha radiallahu anha says, I slept. So as I slept, I covered myself, but in the sleep, perhaps my face got exposed. So if my face was exposed, he came, he is not sure, he realized it's me because he saw me before hijab. He didn't know what I looked, obviously, after, if he saw it, had seen me after hijab, but this is because he saw my face before hijab was revealed. Now he knows this is Aisha. So Safwan ibn Mu'attal, this is a situation of necessity. Yet he does not engage or communicate with her directly. He needs to get her attention. How does he get her attention? He says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, loudly. Inna lillahi. He didn't even say Aisha. He didn't even speak to her. That level of caution that clean hearts had adopted. How more important for us when talking to a ghair mahram? You know, sometimes it can just be a soft word and it can change a situation for us. My husband is not so sweet. Look at how that person spoke to me, man. You okay, Appa? Husband never asked me something like that. Now, everything can change just because of the way we speak. So he just said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Aisha radhiyallahu anha says, I woke up with that Inna lillah. Immediately, first reaction, hijab, khamartu wajhi. Immediately I veiled myself. And I see it is Safwan ibn Mu'attal, it's a sahabi. That's here for perhaps my safety and my security. But he still doesn't speak to me. He takes the camel and he kneels the camel down. He turns in the opposite direction. He doesn't look at me while I mount the camel. Doesn't look at me. He looks in another direction. And when I have mounted the camel, then he leads the camel from the front. Total caution, everything above board to make sure he doesn't overstep. This is his mother, the mother of the believers. This is the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was ahead, and we traveled, we continued until it was midday when we reached the spot that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had stopped. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled the morning, they were tired, they stopped, it was midday, and by the time we reached, it was midday. Aisha radiallahu anha says, فَهَلَكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ. This, what had transpired, was the loss of many people. This was the reason where many of them had slipped. Some were Sahaba radiallahu anhum, majority were the munafiqun. And فَهَلَكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ. When people started spreading a rumor, the person who was peddling with this more was Abdullah ibn Ubay, Ra'isul Munafiqeen, no other person. So he found an opportunity again to slander and to say something against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu anha doesn't know what's happening. We reach Madinah Munawwara, she's sick. She says, I was sick for one entire month. But this rumor is going around, people are talking about it. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets wind about it. He also knows about this rumor. But she says, when I came back to Madinah Tayyiba, إِنِّي لَا أَعْرِفُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ سَمْ أَلُّطْفَ الَّذِي كُنْتُ أَجِدُ مِنْهُ وَأَرَى مِنْهُ. The only thing that I was missing was that final touch of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My husband was my husband. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best. But that final, that gentle touch, I was missing it. He would come, he would see to me, Aisha, كَيْفَ تِيكُمْ, how are you? There was communication. He was talking to me. But I wasn't feeling that, you know, that last touch was missing. Something's missing. So I sensed that something is not wrong. But anyway, I was sick. I was in my own world. Physically, I was sick. For one entire month, I'm sick. And I don't know what's happening. Imagine people are talking. There is panchat, gabshap. There is... people are talking about her. For 1 month she doesn't know about it. And today you tell me one thing that happens tomorrow, our woman don't know tonight. It hasn't happened also.
We already know it tonight. So Panchayat was something. Now this is a very important lesson. This had to do with Aisha radiallahu anha. But no one confronted her. You know what happened to you. You heard what the people are saying. Na'udhu billah. You have to be very, very careful how we deal with situation. If, example, I receive a message on my phone, Mr. So-and-so has passed away. What do I have the right to phone his wife? You know what happened to your husband? No, why must I phone the wife? Why must I, or example, the husband is in an accident. Must I phone the wife and say, please come here, your husband is in an accident? That's not for me. We have to know how to approach situations, how to break news, how to tell people things. You have to be very, very, very careful. Whatever happens, someone gets kidnapped. So you phone the wife, you know your husband is kidnapped. I mean, the first time hearing it, serious, genuine. Now you're going to put her into a shock. Your Aisha radiallahu anha herself doesn't even know what's happening. Unknowing, she is really in the dark. She doesn't know what's happening and everyone is talking about her. So Aisha radiallahu anha says, I don't know what's happening. And suddenly what happened was, I'm on the road to recovery. 1 month later, I needed to relieve myself. Now in those days, to relieve themselves, they would go on to the outskirts. As I'm going to the outskirts to relieve myself, Ummu Mistah says, Aisha, I'll accompany you. You're going, I'll accompany you. Ummu Mistah knew what was happening around in town. She herself did not even tell Aisha. She's going with her, she never, no panchayat, nothing. She goes with her, she relieves herself. On the return, Ummu Mistah radiallahu anha, now her son had fallen prey in the slander. He also was part of the slander against Aisha radiallahu anha. So the mother was upset. But on the return, she tripped on her cloak, on her clothes. As she tripped, she said, Ta'isa Mistah, destruction and woe be to my son Mistah. So Aisha radiallahu anha says, Ummu Mistah, why would you want to curse your own son? I mean, your beloved son. You didn't hear what he said? He says, what happened? He says, no, there is a rumor in town. Full stop. There's a rumor in town? It's got to do with you. No details. Aisha radiallahu anha says, I was on the road to recovery. My sickness just aggravated. And I'm saying, for 1 month I've been, you know, finding that I was losing something from Nabi Sam, I was missing something. There's it. This was it. So she comes home. She doesn't phone her parents. Today we have to be very careful as parents. If the children phone to say there's a problem in the house, pack your bags, I'm coming. I'm coming with Molana also. We'll sort it out. No. We have to know how to calm situations. She knows my responsibility and duty is my husband. She goes home. Waits for Nabi Sam to come. She asks Nabi Sam permission. Please, I want to go home. I need to speak to my parents. So Nabi Sam says, you got permission. Okay. So she goes to her parents. Why? She says, that those are the only people I can really get the truth and the details of it. I have to go speak to them. So Nabi Sam said, no problem. So Aisha radiallahu anha goes. She goes to her parents. Parents are not other than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So she comes to her parents and she's sitting and she's talking to her mother. You say, Ma, you heard what the people are saying. And she breaks down tearing. She says, for 2 days I teared and I cried and I can't recall the moment I slept. For 2 full days, tearing, crying. It can't be me. I'm so innocent. I didn't do anything. How can they accuse me? Young, innocent girl. The mother, all she says, Hawini alik, Aisha, Aisha, comfort yourself, relax, take it easy, cool down. We will take care of this. She doesn't aggravate it. She doesn't put fuel to fire. She doesn't say, no, we'll sort it out. Your father knows him, nothing. Listen, Nabi Sam knows what he is doing. We have to verify, that's part of the process. But we have confidence in you, just relax. We'll take it in its stride. So Aisha then says, I teared and I cried. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and he came to visit, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again that same, you see, kayfatikum, how are you? You know, it was just like a distance relationship and connection we had. So you see, how are you? Alhamdulillah, I'm okay, etc. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Aisha. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did speak to Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He called certain Sahaba, what do you feel? What do you think about it? Do you have any information? And good news was coming out, besides a few. So who were part of the slander. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told Aisha radiallahu anha, oh Aisha, if you are innocent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will exonerate you. He will prove your innocence. But if you are guilty, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But we have to follow the process. Irrespective of who the person may be. She starts tearing and crying. Tearing and crying. She says, imagine Nabi Sam is talking to me and he's telling me, if you're innocent, Allah. So I said, Allah will definitely send my innocence down. She teared and she cried. She says, Papa, she's telling her father, Ya Abati, oh my father, Ajib Rasulullah, like, speak on my behalf, say something. Father keeps quiet. I can't say anything. This is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wahi comes onto him. Mother, you say something. I mean, no one is seeing anything. Like I'm all alone in my world. I'm just going to be all alone. So eventually, Aisha radiallahu anha, she starts crying and crying and she's making dua to Allah. And she said, Nabi Sam said, if I am innocent, Allah will reveal my innocence. I continued crying until revelation started. When the revelation started, it was a winter's day. We were all covered with our shawls, winter's day. Nabi Sam breaks in a perspiration. And I said, Alhamdulillah. Like some wahi is coming down. But she says, when that revelation came, it was 10 verses of Quran that were revealed. 10 to exonerate the personality of Aisha radiallahu anha. Anyone who says that Aisha is guilty of zina is kafir. Because 10 ayat are exonerating her. And then she is so humble. She bites humble pie. Or rather, she's so humble. What does she say? She says, I never ever expected that Allah will reveal ayat for me. Why must Allah? I'm not such an important person. But that's that importance of being humble. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed 10 verses to exonerate Aisha radiallahu anha. There are other lessons. Inshallah, our time is expired. We will discuss it next week, inshallah ta'ala, and complete the incident of the ifk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Wa akhid da'wana. سبحان الله بحمده.